Welcome to Tokyo Cheapo Podcast. Think Tokyo's expensive? Well, think again. All the best tips for visiting and living in Tokyo on a pittance. Cheap sushi, cheap sausages, cheap dates, cheap dogs, cheap hotels, cheap holidays, cheap sumo, cheap salads, cheap bikes, cheap booze, cheap chicken. Ladies, gentlemen, and cheapos, welcome to the fifth episode of Tokyo Cheapo Podcast. Joining me today is the infamous cheapo, Greg Lane.
Good afternoon.
And I am the...
The notorious cheapo, Chris Kirkland.
Thanks, Greg. Reminding me of the word notorious.
No problem.
Both of us have had a nice, thrifty New Year break and start to the year.
Yes, it has been a while since the last show.
It has been a while.
Yes, it's...
To save money, I've actually moved to Thailand. That's my cheapo tip.
It kind of defeats the purpose of the site, doesn't it?
I beg to differ, because I do still spend time in Tokyo.
You do.
And you could argue that a way of saving money and living in Tokyo is to only live there half the year.
Right, sure.
It's maybe not a practical tip for everybody.
Quite chilly here at the moment. Bit of snow this morning.
It's about 28 degrees here.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to start with some recent content on the site, and we thought we'd do a roundup of the top articles of last year and finish with a couple of practical tips.
Yes.
So, shall we have a look at what's new on Tokyo Cheapo?
Sure. In January, it's been a lot of food. I guess it's maybe it's just the time of year. You know, you spend a lot of time inside and you want to feed your face. We've covered a couple of sushi places. We've looked at Ichiran Ramen. That was the first article from, actually the second article from Grace. Also, with a couple of articles from Melissa. So one was about the bakery, which I think we're going to have a bit of a talk about later.
Yeah.
A bakery in Azabu called Mont Tabor. And also something about a very interesting little cafe she found. Oh, God, it's a French name. Nos Encentres de Demont. Perhaps.
Exactly.
In Ogikubo, which I can say Ogikubo.
Yes, so, we can do the Japanese pronunciation.
Yes, we can.
We can do the Japanese-French pronunciation, maybe.
Yes.
What's the article with the strawberries in it, Greg?
Oh, that was, the latest cheapo weekend. That's the start of strawberry picking season. So strawberry picking season runs from the end of January until about May in Japan.
I wonder if Japan's the only country in the Northern Hemisphere where you get strawberry picking in the winter.
Strawberries are one of those things that tend to be grown in like these plastic kind of houses, like, you know, the glass houses in Japan. So I'm not sure if when they actually ripen has actually got a lot to do with the season or the weather. I mean, in New Zealand, they're an early summer fruit. So there's these places around Tokyo where you can actually go in and pick strawberries. So they're not that cheap, to be honest. The price is about 100 grams. 100 grams is about 420 yen. But I guess what you could do, I mean, you know, you can be guaranteed the quality is pretty good, because I don't know if you noticed, but strawberries in Japan are really, really good.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, I'm from New Zealand, so, you know, my experience with strawberries is you have to kind of, like, put a small mountain of sugar on top of them because they're so sour. But the Japanese ones tend to be quite sweet. You don't have to put a lot of sugar on them, or any sugar, actually. One other kind of interesting article recently on the site was from Aaron.
The grandma.
Yeah, grandma's Harajuku. So he's got some great photos on there, actually. It's about a place called Sugamo, which is in the north part of Tokyo. It's on the northern kind of top of the loop of the Yamanote line.
Yamanote. Yeah, it's great for nampering grandma.
That's not the first thing I would have thought of, but...
Once you've had enough of the high school girls in Harajuku, then you can go and talk to the grandmas in Sugamo.
Aaron does actually go into his kind of...
Disapproval.
Disapproval, that's the word I was looking for, of the teenagers in Harajuku.
And isn't Aaron, he's still a teenager himself.
He's not far out. He's only, I guess he's in his early 20s.
Yeah.
I guess that covers the recent content on the site. So something we were going to have a bit of a talk about was the top articles from 2012.
Yes. So we've got the top 10 articles of 2012. So you will start in reverse order.
Good idea.
One always does. We need we probably need to sort of edit in some sort of drum roll sound right now.
But, don't they have like some kind of number 10?
Number 10.
What?
Yeah.
Coming in at number 10 is cheap internet when staying in Tokyo.
Indeed.
So, common problem for people visiting Japan until recently has been getting online. It was nigh on impossible to get a pay-as-you-go mobile phone with data. Of course, bringing your own smartphone and using roaming is going to cost you slightly short of $1 million for every week.
Yes. There are kind of new roaming plans on depending on your carrier that will give you cheaper overseas roaming rates, but they're still really expensive. And I mean, we can't go into that because we'd have to cover every roaming plan for every single country.
I mean, this is something I do because I travel a lot.
Yeah.
I'm constantly having to solve this problem. And there are a few dedicated services for people who move around and they want some kind of cheap international roaming plan. But my personal experience and people I meet who are having a similar lifestyle is the best bet is to have an unlocked smartphone and just get a pay-as-you-go SIM in every country you go to. It wasn't possible in Japan until just recently when B-Mobile opened up and has allowed foreigners to easily purchase a data SIM for 2 weeks for just under 4,000 yen.
Which isn't super cheap, but...
it's not super cheap, but for Japanese standards, that's not bad. There's actually a cheaper option. If you're staying longer term, you can get one of the... You have to use the Japanese site to get it, though. But they have pay-as-you-go plans, which you can top up for a month for 4,000 yen.
The limitation, obviously, being that you can't use it as a telephone, right? You can't get a Japanese telephone number.
Yeah, there's no phone number with it.
Yeah. That article basically covers a little bit about B-Mobile and things like the free internet at Starbucks and various other places. Okay, so moving on.
Number 9.
Number 9 is...
2012. Kinji used clothing.
That's right.
Harajuku, which... I believe you wrote, Greg.
Yes. I actually picked up some clothes then. Obviously, you know, I had to do the research. So I picked up a couple of pairs of shorts and a shirt there earlier this year. Recommend checking it out. It's
how much did they set you back?
The shorts were less than 1,000 yen each, and they were kind of both. I mean, I'm not a brand person, but they were both kind of brand products. They were brand new, more or less.
Nice.
You know, good value.
Excellent.
And at number 8.
Coming in at number eight, we have...
It's actually another used clothing place, which is called Bingo, which is was an article by Mine not long after that. So, I guess that shows, you know, the popularity of vintage clothing amongst our readers and people visiting Tokyo. So,
We've actually got some hit readers, which is very reassuring because... Anyone seeing me and Greg in the flesh will think of us as some sort of antiquated granddads with a fashion sense.
Yeah, that's why we don't have photos of ourselves on the site, right?
Yeah.
And coming in at number 7 is...
Kitazawa thrifting.
If you're talking about used clothing, those Bingo and Kinji are great, but they're like the place to head for that kind of stuff is Shimokitazawa. So, Mine also wrote that one, so it's a bit of a rundown of the various places you can try it in Shimokitazawa. It's well worth a look.
So, what are we on now? Number 6.
We are.
Coming in at number 6, Hanamasa, cheapest supermarket for meat, fish, and veggies. Last podcast, we announced opening of a new 24-hour branch. Anyway, Hanamasa, cheapo supermarket.
Do you want to do the number 5?
Yes, I'll put on the voice. Coming in at number 5, 101 free and cheap things to do in Tokyo.
So we had a whole episode about that. So at number 4...
Wait for it, drum roll. We're getting close to the top 3.
What?
Tokyo Cheapo's cheapest supermarket, OK Supermarket.
Yep, there you go. Yeah.
Sounds very good.
Build up and then a letdown.
The article won't let you down.
No, it won't.
This is
an all
Tokyo
supermarket,
arguably the cheapest supermarket. And if you live nearby, then you are a lucky cheapo.
Indeed.
So check that out on the site, OK Supermarkets.
Are we going to keep going with the voice?
What?
Of course we're going to keep going with the voice. Coming in at number 3, cheap sex. Beating the cost of loving into... Have I got it wrong?
You got it wrong.
Shit.
It's the... it's bikes. It's... I can't remember the name of the article, but it's it was by Mine. And it basically tells you all about bikes. how to pick up a cheap bike from the place where they impound bicycles in Nishiefuku. And she also mentions a couple of secondhand bike shops. So I guess getting around in Tokyo, it's quite a popular topic. So
it's a good tip, that one.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Japan being not that oriented around secondhand products, but all these abandoned bikes lying around everywhere, coupled with the fact that you can't just pick up one of these abandoned bikes because they're all registered, and there's always a danger that it's actually been stolen, and if the police stop you, then they'll think it was you that stole it.
Yeah, bad idea.
Whereas in most other countries, you don't have this problem. If you see an abandoned bike, you just pick it up, fix it, and it's yours.
I guess one of the other things is Japan is, and Tokyo as well, is such a convenience kind of oriented society that a lot of people get their bikes impounded and they just can't be bothered going to pick it up, so they just buy a new one. Some of these bikes that are impounded and resold are pretty much brand new bikes.
So I can attest to that. First bike in Tokyo, I bought one of these reconditioned things. It was actually Takada Nobama, the Shinjuku-ku.
Right.
Picked up a brand new Mamachari for about 3,000 yen.
Generally sent you back about 10 to 12,000 yen for a new one, so it's a good deal. That's for like the bottom of the market kind of thing. So
moving on, you already know what number 2 is because I announced it. It's the cheap sex article.
What?
Which I'm pretty sure the reason why it's so popular is because it's got cheap sex in the title.
Yes.
And there's shitloads of people typing in sex, Tokyo, sex, Japan, beating. I've got beating in the title as well.
Oh, right, well, of course. I know. Okay, yeah. I didn't think of that.
Of course, it's got a very high bounce rate. Most people hitting the page are like...
A little bit disappointed.
Okay, there's no nudity here. But for those who stick and do read the article, there's some really useful tips there on saving money to do with finding a mate in Tokyo.
Yep.
From cheapo date tips to where to meet people, and finally where to copulate using love hotels and whatnot. Or as we suggest at the end, some slightly more guerrilla options. Outdoor options.
You're not talking about the animal.
No. there's not many gorillas in Tokyo. That would be too expensive.
I think you can buy anything in Tokyo, so who knows?
Anyway, so check that out. If you Google cheap sex Tokyo, then you should find Tokyo Cheapo at number 1.
Right.
So, yes. So this is now the grand finale. What was the most popular article in 2012?
I know.
Okay. I know as well. But the listeners, do they know? Well, they're about to find out, because coming in at number 1, the most popular article on Tokyo Cheapo for 2012 was...
What?
How to spend 3 nights in Tokyo, all included on 10,000 yen.
I'm not sure if we actually went on. We actually talked about this on the podcast because it was.
We maybe haven't.
No.
Maybe not. This has been our most popular article. Massive amount of sharing. So thanks to all you readers who liked and tweeted, and the 12 people who actually use Google Plus. Thanks for the sharing. Yeah.
I think it's possibly our most liked article on the site as well.
Yeah.
So by 504 likes.
Yeah.
So,
For those of you who haven't read it yet, it's usually on our kind of sort of popular navigation, but it's a great hack how to have a holiday in Tokyo on a real low budget.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of people have actually commented, it costs so much money to get to Japan, because I mean, I guess people, talking about coming from North America or Europe, and why would you only spend 10,000 yen on a holiday? But there's a lot of these kind of budget airlines now. So, for example, you can get to Japan for from Australia for about $200 on Jetstar these days. So
come up, you know, for a weekend.
Yeah, you could come for the weekend, and it's not going to cost you much more than a holiday in your own country. Try it out and let us know how if you do it. We'd like to kind of stalk someone doing the 10,000 yen tour.
We did actually talk about doing a kind of competition where we would pay for somebody to do it.
Yeah, we should.
Give them the 10,000 yen to stay at. So if you're interested,
yep,
drop us a line.
TokyoCheapos@gmail.com.
Or you can just use our contact form on the site.
Yeah, or that. Yeah, if you do email us, remember it's got an S on the end. We somehow missed out on Tokyo Cheapos. So it's TokyoCheapos@gmail.com.
Just briefly to talk about the article, we've done an action-packed itinerary going across the Shibuya area over to Ginza and the Emperor's Palace, some art galleries, plenty of park action. But basically, there's a shitload of free stuff you can do in Tokyo, and we've kind of all rolled it up into a nice three-day itinerary. It includes the cheapest possible commercial accommodation in Tokyo, which is staying at an internet cafe, mm-hmm. which is actually nicer than it sounds, because you get your own little room.
Depending, the way they generally work is they'll have a whole lot of different zones within the comic cafe. So they'll have private rooms, you know, they're actually soundproof, which is a bit funny. It's for people to play games, of course, right? Video games. And they'll have other booths where you can lie down flat. It's basically like it's like a couch. And they'll have other ones which are more open, and they have the chairs, you know, like you can lie flat in the chairs. You pay the same for any of these, but it's a first-in, first-served thing. So if you get there early, then you get the nice rooms. If you get there late, you get to sleep in a chair. So caveat emptor.
This is a bit of a cheapo hack.
It yeah.
Does require a little bit of planning and potluck.
Yes.
Still, for just under 1,000 yen for a night's accommodation.
Outstanding value.
You're going to pay 5 to 10 times that for any hotel room.
Yes, that pretty much covers the top 10 posts of 2012. I guess the other things we wanted to talk about this week were something about bakeries.
Yeah, we've had a few bread-oriented articles recently, as you just mentioned in the latest articles. Melissa also covered the bagel place.
Yeah, that was an education, that article, because obviously bagels are famous for being from New York and the East Coast of the US, I guess. Are they, or are they from Germany? Am I showing my ignorance here?
Well, they're definitely popular in New York.
Okay.
So we'll say that.
Okay.
They're popular in New York.
Yeah, let's just go with
possibly
that.
Possibly from New York.
So I didn't actually realize they were boiled. I never realized that. I knew, obviously, they're quite dense, but I didn't realize they got that by boiling the dough and then cooking
it. Yeah.
I just assumed it was cooked like any other bread. Now I know why it's actually different.
So if you want some bagels, we've got it covered on Tokyo Cheapo. And she was saying that the dough is actually shipped from New York.
They fly the dough over to Japan.
Interesting logistical problems. Balancing freshness with air freighting costs.
I imagine they're semi-frozen, if not completely frozen. Bakeries are not as cheap as you might expect. You know, if you come from Europe or you come from, I guess, a Western country, you might be used to very cheap baked goods. In Tokyo, it tends to be a bit of a luxury, I guess.
Yeah, it's not a daily staple, really.
No. So, but I guess it's all a matter of perspective, because a lot of these places are the flash bakeries in Tokyo are located in kind of business and retail districts. So if you consider it as a meal rather than as a staple, something you take home and you know, make sandwiches with or something, it's not so bad. The value is actually a lot better. So a couple of my favorites are Anderson,
mm-hmm.
which has shops throughout Tokyo, and also another very good one is Donk.
Uh-huh.
It's Donq. At my old company, we used to head down to Anderson. We'd get one of the big long French loaves, and we'd cut it into slices, and buy some tuna from the supermarket, and some fresh tomatoes, and make sandwiches. And it worked out pretty cheap. You know, it was only a couple hundred yen each. So I mean, that's a cheaper tip.
I like Anderson as well. It's a pretty damn good bakery. I mean, if you live in Germany, then you're just used to this. Every bakery in Germany is amazing. But if you're from, I don't know, US or England, where, frankly, the bread is a bit hit and miss. There's good, you know, there's great bread in England as well, but there's a lot of really shitty bakeries. But Anderson's really good, good quality bakery. But I have an Anderson tip as well. They're usually in department stores, I find.
Anderson's are?
Am I thinking of the right one?
I'm not sure. Yeah, they have a lot of stores, so it's possible.
I think it's the same one. Anyway, I was shopping near closing time, about 7:30 p.m. and they close at 8.
Is this a dumpster diving tip?
Almost a dumpster diving tip. I didn't actually go in the dumpster, but I bought a French stick and the guy serving there gave me 3.
Wow.
Because they were closing and
it's
I guess it's
a pity you can't freeze them,
right? Yeah. It's a shame because I usually don't eat many carbs.
Right.
So I had like 3 French sticks, which I wasn't really going to eat anyway. But I'm not in the majority. So I think try these places out after work and see, maybe you can get some freebies.
I mean, you know, if you get known at some of these places, they tend to be a bit friendlier and, you know, they'll often throw stuff in. Like my local Yamaya. You know, if they have some kind of something that's about to hit its expiry date or something and they're trying to get rid of it, they'll just give me one, you know.
Nice.
So get to know your local shops.
Splendid. Well, let's move on to the last section of the show.
I just thought we should do a bit of a preview of the Cheapo weekend coming up. So I'll basically tell you what we're going to cover. So
what are we going to cover, Greg?
Well, the big event, the big festival this weekend is Setsubun, which is officially marks the start of spring traditionally.
Because in Japan, all the seasons are marked by specific dates.
Yes, I'm not sure exactly why it falls on the 3rd of February, but it's not particularly warm.
Equally, summer starts on... It's like the 14th of July or something.
I think it might have something to do with the traditional Chinese New Year. Like Japan used to follow the Chinese calendar. And they changed the calendar to follow the Western calendar. So they celebrate New Year at the same time as the West does.
Yeah.
So consequently, they moved the other dates. This is the theory. I'm not speaking from... from any kind of knowledge here.
You didn't read Wikipedia before.
No, I should have. I could probably just open it right now. But anyway, let's just go with that.
Well, it is actually Chinese New Year, like next week or something.
I think it's coming up this week, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So
this week, yeah.
So the big kind of activity that goes on at Setsubun is known as Mamemaki. Traditionally, it happens in homes all over Japan. Typically, the father dresses up as a devil with a devil mask.
And which you'll see widely available in all the convenience stores and shops.
Yes, yes. So he comes home with a devil mask on, and the kids lie in wait with kind of dried beans. And as soon as the father walks through the door, they throw the beans at the father, and they shout.
What is it?
Something. Oh God, I should have.
Something guy and something.
Yeah, something soto. So it's like. Oni wa soto, fuku wa uchi,
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, oni is devil.
Devil.
I hope I'm right. This could
yeah,
be wrong.
Devil get out and
devil's
luck
out,
come
and
in.
Happiness and luck comes in. So that's the idea of it. And if you don't want to recreate this kind of thing in your small flat, you can head to some events around Tokyo. So there's one big event at a place called Zojoji Temple, which is a very centrally located temple. It's in Daimon.
Uh-huh.
Daimon Shiba kind of area. It's actually kind of connected to Shiba Park. And it's actually very famous because it's located right next to Tokyo Tower. They have these kind of photos where you have Tokyo Tower in the background and you have Zojoji Temple in the front ground. Foreground. So, you know, you get that kind of contrast of the old and new. It's a very stereotypical kind of photo. But anyway, if you go there, they've got a Mamemaki, ceremony on Sunday.
So presumably that's loads of people throwing dried beans at each other or something.
Well, yeah, they have a kind of a platform. So I think they'll be throwing beans at the audience. So, and maybe you can throw them back. That's usually how it works. It's usually like a free for all.
Sounds good.
And that happens, well, I guess you'll have to check the Cheapo weekend to find out.
Yeah.
And along the same lines, there's another interesting festival. It's a bit different though. It's at Nishiarai. Yeah, Nishiarai Daishi, near a place called Nishiarai Station, which is on the Tobu line in Adachi Prefecture. So it's kind of off towards the northeast part of Tokyo. And, it's the same festival. I mean, they're celebrating the same thing, but they've got a slightly different way of doing it. and it involves fire. They get a big pile of traditional dolls. They're called daruma. They're kind of
the little heads.
I guess you'd describe it as a head. It's kind of like the top half is a kind of like a head, and the bottom is the body. And they're kind of like an egg shape, and they're kind of a big luck thing, I guess, in Buddhism. I mean, I don't know. Study about daruma if you're interested to find exactly what they are. The idea is that the daruma have done their business. That you know, they provided the luck. So as a reward, they put them in a big pile and they burn them. So,
you know, so the moral of the story is
don't be reincarnated as a daruma, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's what's coming up this weekend. And one more thing, actually, there's an interesting kind of natural phenomena that you can observe around this time. Actually, pretty much starts from around now until the weekend.
This is, in fact, a slightly sad event because it's a last opportunity.
Well, actually, you can still see it any time from now on. Okay, what we're talking about is a thing called Diamond Fuji, which is basically when the sun sets into the cone of Mount Fuji. So, obviously, you can't always see Mount Fuji from Tokyo, but on a clear day, you can see it. It's kind of it kind of looms in the distance. So, about this time of year, the sun actually sets right down the cone of Mount Fuji. So the idea is when it's right on the top, it's like a diamond. It actually happens twice a year. It happens in Tokyo about November 9th, the 11th,
mm-hmm.
and again around now. So if you want to see it, you should be basically any tall building will do. But as you said, there's one kind of happening, I guess. I don't know what you call it, a happening, but there's a famous place where you can see Mount Fuji from ground level, and it's in Nishi Nippori, and the place is called Fujimizaka. And what you do is you obviously climb this little hill, and you can stand at the top of the hill and you can see a diamond Fuji. The problem is,
but alas,
there's always a catch to these. There is a construction project in nearby Shinjuku Ward, which is expected to completely obstruct the view sometime in 2013. So it's kind of like the end of an era.
The last opportunity to see
Diamond
Fuji from ground level in central Tokyo.
Yeah, there's actually, it's interesting, there's a lot of place names in Tokyo that have Fujimi in them, which means seeing Fuji Mount Fuji. So, So Fujimigaoka, Fujimizaka, there's like all these names, but the kind of sad thing is they're pretty much all been built out now. So
you can't see Fuji anymore.
Unless you have the luck to work in a very tall office tower. So, go and have that interview at a bank or something, and perhaps you can see the diamond
time
Fuji.
Time your interview for January. What was the date? February the?
Well, it's about from about January 29th through the weekend, probably. It's kind of, obviously it depends exactly how far north you are. So it'll vary slightly. If you're further north in Tokyo, if you're in Saitama and northern Tokyo, it'll probably be about now. And if you're down by Yokohama, it'll probably be towards the weekend.
Yeah.
Worth checking out.
Splendid. So that's just about it for this week.
Okay, so I guess if you want to keep track of what we're up to, as usual, check the Facebook, facebook.com/TokyoCheapo.
Do give us a like if you haven't already. We're almost up to 1,000 likes now. Milestone of having 1,000 fans.
Yay.
Which will make it all worthwhile.
It will. And obviously on Twitter as well. You can get us twitter.com/TokyoCheapo. And Google Plus, well, I'm not sure what the URL is for that, but you can find us there too.
So do keep sending in your feedback and questions, comments, because being humans, we like appreciation.
We do.
So gets us out of bed in the morning.
Great.
We both had to get out of bed this morning to do this podcast. So
we both get up pretty late anyway.
Yeah. So. Thanks, everybody, for all your listening, feedback, likes, and everything. And we'll be back again in a couple of weeks. Goodbye from the notorious cheapo, me, Chris Kirklands.
What am I again? I forgot.
The infamous Chifo.
Infamous Chifo and the infamous Chifo.
How can you forget? You're infamous.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Okay, thanks a lot for listening.
See you later, chaps. Bye. Dates, dogs, cheap hotels, cheap holidays, cheap sumo, cheap salads. Bye.